everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. I'm going to start with an article by Benjamin Krem's master that was published in the book Master Speaks, Volume 2, and was originally given back in September 2010. It's titled Earth Transformed. In some 20 years from now, any visitor to Earth would be amazed by the transformation that he would find in every aspect of our lives. The best of the past will have been preserved, but a new and vigorous beauty will prevail everywhere, and a new relationship will have been established between people and the environment in which they live. Gone forever will be the slums and hovels in which millions today eke out a living. A new pride in man will generate an equal concern for men's leisure and social activities, and lead gradually to a new understanding of man's essential needs. New technology will free countless millions from the drudgery of repetitive work. The demand for knowledge in every field will open wide the doors of colleges, factories, and farms alike, and a new enthusiasm for learning will manifest throughout the world. Thus will men understand better the underlying purposes of our incarnational experiences, and so will grow the needed control of our physical, emotional, and mental equipment. This will lead men to the door of initiation and thus to perfectionment. Thus will men return anew to the age-old path to perfection, and, freed from the glamours and errors of the past, tread once more the way of sacrifice, of renunciation of all that hinders the highest understanding and light. Man has strayed far from this simple path, sidetracked by a gross materialism which has lured him to the very edge of disaster. But, as men will find, their eternal divinity has, once more, asserted itself and drawn man back from the brink. A growing number of people everywhere are beginning to sense this to be true and to awaken to the task of transformation. In this way, they find their own sense of responsibility enhanced and respond accordingly. Thus are the workers of the future found, and thus too does the world change for the better. Quietly as yet, but steadily, does Maitreya work to potentize this process. His beneficent energies act like yeast to raise the aspiration and strengthen the resolve of all who can respond. These are many, and so is built a great army of workers in the light that will transform the world and ensure the future for all men. And now I'm going to read excerpts from a book review that was published in the November issue of Share International magazine. The review is by Anna Schwestra-Bee, and the title is You Matter More Than You Think. Karen O'Brien is a professor in the Department of Sociology and Human Geography at the University of Oslo, Norway, and co-founder of Sea Change, that's lowercase c, change, an organization that supports transformation in a changing climate. O'Brien has participated in four reports for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, and is currently leading the work of writing a report for the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, the short form IPBES, which will be presented in 2024. She has written several books, of which You Matter More Than You Think is the latest. And she begins the book by saying, "This book is for you and for all people who are interested in social change and open to the possibility that each of us can contribute to a quantum leap to sustainability. It's also for people who are concerned about the state of the world and may be feeling a deep anxiety about the future. Above all, it is a book about mattering, especially about how we translate the abstract idea of mattering into large-scale systems change that is not only rapid and effective, but also equitable, ethical, and sustainable. To make this translation, or transition, we need to take a different perspective and consider new ways of relating to ourselves, each other, the environment, and the future. We need a new way of thinking about social change. Surely there are millions of people in the world who have come to recognize the urgent necessity for deep systemic and worldwide transformation, and who feel a strong desire and responsibility to contribute to these changes themselves. Millions more are desperate for such change, as they already suffer the devastating and long foretold effects of a climate and natural world thrown off balance by human exploitation and folly, as well as the brutal consequences caused by our prevailing economic and financial theories and beliefs. As we know from scientific observations and data, the decade we are living in now is the decisive one, our last chance to halt or reverse the runaway global warming, biodiversity loss, soil depletion, and pollution threatening life as we know it on Earth. The choices and decisions we make now, what we do or fail to do at this pivotal time in human history, will have long-term consequences for the future and the very existence of life on Earth. The sense of impending catastrophe may also lead many people to feel despondent, unimportant, and powerless, believing that the numerous issues involved in today's crises are too massive, pervasive, and entrenched to be able to change or even to deal with. As a scientist and researcher herself, the author, O'Brien, sees it differently, and she says, "Coming from the social sciences, I feel provoked when people tell me that it is too late to do anything about climate change and that we should be preparing ourselves for societal collapse and extinction. However, I also believe that we can do better than merely coping and adapting to crisis upon crisis. To do better requires thinking differently, acting differently, and being different. By being different, I mean relating differently to ourselves, each other, the environment, and social change. On a global scale, the extensive changes so urgently needed may still seem mostly absent, and many of today's leaders fail to stand for values that ensure the good of all and safeguard nature, thus taking society further into disaster, injustice, and fragmentation. It is not a lack of information about the dire prospects facing us if we fail to step up to the challenge that keeps us from breaking away from our habitual ways of doing things. So, why do we seem to be so slow to translate our knowledge into adequate actions? Is it also because we are still largely caught up in the old ways of understanding reality, ourselves, and the world?" O'Brien takes a closer look at how different paradigms, beliefs, metaphors, and relationships define and shape our present times and our experience of ourselves and reality. And she does so by investigating how quantum physics can be applied to the social sciences. To do so, she draws on research from the emerging field of quantum social science, which she says investigates whether and how the concepts, interpretations, and formal models of quantum physics can be used in fields such as international relations, economics, finance, psychology, and sociology. She bases her exploration of the potential for quantum social change on the idea that climate change is, at its very essence, about relationships. The classical assumptions which have shaped our dominant Western and industrialized worldview are based on the idea that we are inherently separate from each other and from nature. As anthropologist Arturo Escobar writes, the question of wholes, form, and coherence remains unsolved in social theories. Influenced by the mechanistic view of Newtonian physics, our relation to self, other, and nature is mainly dualistic, resulting in an us versus them perspective that maintains a fragmented and divided society. This individualistic, deterministic, and reductionistic approach makes us underestimate our individual and collective capacity for social change. It limits our understanding of what is truly possible for humanity and the rapidity by which major change can happen. And she says, in quantum systems, there is nothing that is apart or fully separate. And if we consider the universe to be one large quantum system, this includes humans and non-humans alike. This perspective acknowledges our inherent oneness, and the concept of right relations becomes what human geographer Ermelyn Graham Hansen and colleagues describe as an obligation to live up to the responsibilities involved when taking part in a relationship, be it to other humans, other species, the land, or the climate. Through thoughtful questions presented to the reader throughout the book, O'Brien invites us to reflect upon and inquire into our own deeply held and often unquestioned assumptions and beliefs about the nature of reality and society, and how we relate to change. As the title states, the book is above all about mattering and the role and responsibility we each have in creating transformative change in the world as seen from the perspective of quantum social science. And another quote in the book, the personal sphere of transformation still tends to be ignored in many sustainable development initiatives. And when it is addressed, it is most often through efforts to change our beliefs, values, worldviews, and paradigms of others, rather than to create conditions for everyone to realize their own potential based on values that resonate and replicate at all scales. The book may leave the reader with many important questions as it challenges us to inquire, reflect, and act. In these crucial times, when humanity is faced with fundamental choices and decisions, how do we embody our values, theories, and beliefs in our everyday lives, or fail to do so? Do we believe that as individuals we have little influence on the dynamics of power and interests in the world? Or do we have confidence in our individual and collective ability to respond to the crises and make a quantum leap in our evolution? Do we prolong the old and failing system by feeding into its premises and narratives, feeling disheartened by the present state of affairs? Or do we focus on the large and vital worldwide network of social movement towards sustainability and justice already on its way, investing our time and energies in creating the new forms for a thriving world? Do we provide conduits for the potent new energies pouring in and transforming the world, or are we not available for such service? Do we remain the same, or do we, through what we put into practice in our everyday lives, actually transform ourselves and become fractals of change in the world. That's the end of the excerpts from the book review about the book titled You Matter More Than You Think by Karen O'Brien. We have time for a couple of letters to the editor. This is again from the November issue. And to explain them, Share International has a large reserve of unpublished letters, which were confirmed by Benjamin Creme and his master to be genuine encounters with masters or a spokesperson. And there are some letters included that are new, and although they cannot anymore be confirmed or indicate whether a master is involved because of Benjamin Creme's passing, they are still presented for the reader's consideration. The couple of letters I'm going to read are actually confirmed by Benjamin Creme's master, so they are before 2016. So the first one starts as follows. In February 2004, my family and I were on a flight to Hawaii, sponsored by the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which offers to fulfill the wishes of children with life-threatening illnesses. Our 11-year-old son, Sebastian, was suffering from aplastic anemia, and it was his wish to see Hawaii. I was seated next to an elderly couple, and my children and husband were seated in the row behind me. My 8-year-old daughter was miserable because she wanted to sit with me, so the woman next to me offered to switch seats with her. Thus, a conversation between our family and this couple ensued. The woman was exceedingly sociable and candid about her life experiences, and some of these seemed uncannily parallel to my own life. As she sat next to my husband, she literally snatched the science fiction book he was reading and asked him about it. She said she hadn't heard of science fiction, and he explained the value of reading such books to envision new societies and ideas for the future. She told him that he certainly could write books like this. Then she playfully snatched the baseball hat off my son's head and handed it to a passing stewardess, telling her to have the pilot autograph it. She took a great deal of interest in my son and asked him lots of questions about his life. She had such a merry expression and a playful twinkle in her eye. At the end of our flight, we stood in our places waiting to leave the plane. My son commented to the woman that she seemed so young for her apparent age. With some pride, she told us how she takes great care to exercise every day. She then unzipped the jacket of the smart athletic suit she was wearing and revealed a very large silver pendant around her neck, hung from a long, thick silver chain. All our eyes were drawn to it. She asked us if we could guess what it represented. As I examined the piece, I noticed that it seemed to have religious symbols on it. I pointed this out, noting the Sanskrit sign for Om, a Christian cross, a sickle and star for Islam, and a wheel for Buddhism. She explained that she had bought it in Mexico years ago and that it was one of her favourite pieces. We then left the plane and went on our way. Could this woman have been Maitreya in disguise? And Benjamin Creme's master confirmed that indeed the woman was Maitreya. And this is from the same person. This one is titled Suited But Not Booted. One summer day in 1996, a young man came to my door in Albany, New York, canvassing the neighborhood in search of donations for a local grassroots environmental group. I had a nice long conversation with him and somehow ended up telling him about the presence in the world of special enlightened beings who could help humanity with our heavy burden of social and environmental ills. As I mentioned this, almost as if on cue, a young man with light brown long hair and a thick beard passed by my house on the sidewalk. He was dressed in a brown business suit, but looked slightly disheveled and was barefoot. He was carrying nothing. Amazed, we watched him pass. My neighbourhood rarely, if ever, was visited by homeless people, but despite his poor appearance, he didn't really seem homeless to me. He turned to look at us as he passed. Was he a master? And the reply from Benjamin Creme's master confirmed that the young man passing by was Maitreya. And on that note, we end the program. Thanks very much for listening and hope you can tune in next time. Have a lovely week.